So we're a couple weeks into the NBA playoffs now, and you know, I thought the Blazers had a shot. You know, I thought they'd be a competitive, but I didn't think they would sweep the Lakers like they did.
No, I don't think anybody expected that. I don't think anybody expected LeBron to literally take a knee to Dame. and to metaphorically pass the crown symbolically to him.
Right. It shocked us all.
And for Anthony Davis to commit seppuku.
Is that where he's honorable suicide or whatever?
Yeah, that's the one. On national television? Wow.
Yeah. We didn't think that was possible. I don't even know. I mean, I'm just... definitely four games have passed. I'm just doing the quick math here by the time this episode comes out. Yeah, so they've swept him days ago, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. As we remember, because it is today in late August, early September. So we know.
This episode will be coming out the 30th.
The 30th? Exactly what I meant.
Yes, so they have swept the Lakers and are playing the winner of Oklahoma City Rockets, who we know who that is.
Yeah. what a series that will be.
Yeah.
Blazers and Dame versus that. A team which
we don't know. Okay. But yeah, no, we're actually recording this the night the Blazers won game one, and so it just seems like there's all the optimism in the world.
I'm living on a fucking high right now. This is a great night.
I cannot believe it. Like, I can't, I mean, I kind of can, but I can't.
Laker fans must be freaking the fuck out right now. They must be terrified.
Yeah.
Because all they do is overreact. All they do is freak out and overreact and complain. I'm sure they're blaming the refs, and I'm sure the refs weren't great, but I'm also sure you have LeBron James. You should not be losing.
I think they were complaining about the refs, but I think Dame hit some crazy shots near the end, and then they were like, well, this is that's just how it goes.
Yeah. I know I watched the first quarter, and I know they were complaining about the refs, but there was at least three calls that went against the Blazers during that first quarter, and they were still complaining.
Yeah, NBA officiating is kind of an issue still. That has not changed in the bubble.
Yeah.
They just need to not call as much, you know,
in my opinion. Just don't fucking call. Like, yeah, no, I can agree more. Let them play. Nobody completely. Everybody, every time the announcer says, oh, they're letting them play, it's said with an excitement, and everybody listening is like, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Well, and like an example, I mean, by now, my Nuggets have surely taken care of the feeble Utah Jazz, and I will not sound like a fool for saying that, surely.
Oh, surely not.
As. I think we'll get back to that a little bit when we get to the content of the episode. But, like, in game one, we had one player who could guard Donovan Mitchell, and he was, like, got in foul trouble immediately and on some kind of weak calls, and then Donovan Mitchell scored 57. I was listening to a podcast, and, like, one of the national reports is like, yeah, well, what's going to happen is, like, the Nuggets are going to submit video clips to the league and, like, form, you know, some sort of complaint. And he, like, guarantee he won't be in foul trouble the next game because that's just how it works. And I'm like, I just feel like that's a bad system. Like, that shouldn't be how it goes, you know?
I was watching the Rockets OKC game earlier, mm-hmm. and Harden kind of flopped on a 3-point play, you know, like he does.
No.
And he goes, I know, I'm breaking news right now. Hot take, he kind of flops, but he went down and he held his knee, and then OKC played the offense and went back to the Houston, and he, like, again, kind of flopped and sold it and immediately got called because he pretended to be hurt. It's just what happens.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Not a good system.
You shouldn't have, like, it shouldn't be up to, like, the teams to, like, formally say, please don't call these fouls, and then it changes, like, so rapidly.
Also, it's like, a bad system, and it's still somehow better than the NFL's catch. Yeah.
What is a catch, Noah?
My heart's been broken too many times to talk about this right now. I'm on too much of a high with the Blazers winning. Let's not ruin that.
Yeah, it feels like. Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting one. Also, the Laker fans are turning on Danny Green, which, like, Danny Green sucked for a while. So.
Yeah, that feels like an obvious, like. Because they're always going to turn on somebody, you know, and they don't have Rondo, so. And Dwight Howard played pretty good, at least that from what I watched.
He's been solid this year, yeah. Now, I just saw. This is. Okay. Show you the state. So there's, like, a very good chance by the time this podcast actually comes out that the Lakers won the series 4-1.
Yeah. It's almost likely.
I just want to, as a tiny little time capsule to the listener of this podcast when it finally comes out. I'm looking on my Twitter timeline and I see a picture. So, you know, they have the social justice messages on the back of their jerseys. Danny Green's is how many more? And someone, I see a photoshopped image of how many more fucking threes am I going to miss on the back of his jersey.
No. Oh, that's pretty good.
That's where the Laker fans are at this moment in time.
God bless them, yeah. But not really.
Alrighty. This is episode 77 of the Noah and Eric Show.
The show.
I almost said podcast incorrectly.
But you didn't, because it's a show.
Fucking idiot, because we're not a podcast.
No, fucking schmuck.
Everyone has a fucking podcast, but how many people have shows?
Not as many. Like we do. I don't know who else does, but we do.
Yeah. Okay, so last week we did underrated things. This week we are doing a six-pack of overrated things because we have to save the negativity for last.
It's what feeds.
Yeah. Was this list easier for you to put together than underrated?
It was way easier to come up with what was overrated, but I think ordering it was tougher for me.
Yeah, for me,
because I'm just so passionate about all these.
I was able to come up with underrated things faster, but like my overrated ones, I feel more strongly about.
Yeah,
on the whole. Okay. I think you went first last week, so I'll go first to start off. My number six. Most overrated thing. Oh, yeah, you're gonna get pissed off at me. Ringo Starr.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you're so wrong!
I'm not.
No!
He was carried. He was carried by three incredibly talented people.
I think everybody shits on Ringo Starr.
Because he sucks. Overrated.
He doesn't, though. He provided so much more than his average drumming. The Beatle, he was a solvent. Nope, that's not the word. He was like a friendly face in the group, and you needed that. The Beatles don't last as long without Ringo Starr because everybody fucking loved Ringo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I see from that point. I'm more talking about, you know. He just didn't bring a lot to their music.
I disagree, kind of. And people shit on his music. Hell, Paul McCartney shit. John said, Ringo's not even the best drummer in the Beatles, referring to Paul.
Yeah.
But there is so many. I think it's In My Life. The song In My Life, that his drumming is like it's very simple in a good way. It's very mellow. It's very complimentary to the songwriting, I think. And that sounds incredibly pretentious, because it is. And I think if you throw fucking Keith Moon in there, or John Bonham, or Neil Peart, or whoever the fuck you want to throw in there, not as good. Though the combination of those four people, you cannot lose any of them, and the Beatles would not be the same.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, he's just not a good drummer, and that's in the band.
I'm not arguing he's a good drummer. Those are two separate conversations as far as I'm concerned.
I just feel like, and like, his solo career was the weakest by far.
No, because he's the worst one by far. But Photograph is a good song.
Okay.
And you're always we weren't alive, but I'm assuming most people were pulling for him.
Oh, we're all pulling for him, you know. But it's just
you're saying he's overrated, but you probably really like him, right?
He's the most relatable.
He's incredibly relatable, and he's got the best name, Ringo fucking Starr. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
that's an incredible name.
All right, what's your sixth?
We're off to a start, aren't we?
Yeah.
I did not say good start. all right. Are you ready for this? My sixth most overrated thing. Reading. Okay. Why do I need to read anymore? Let me just listen to a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, audiobooks are pretty accessible. Because you can, like, get them from your library now.
Yeah, absolutely. You can download them. You don't even need to get them from the library.
Yeah. I mean, the science people think it's good for your brain.
Yeah, I fucking listen to science nerds, though.
That's true.
I drink mead. God damn it.
Forgot about the mead. Yeah, I mean, I've been getting into more, like graphic novels and, like, comic stuff. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, like, I guess, like, history, you know, is usually in that form.
I can listen to history podcasts.
That's true. I mean, it's just, you know, they're just...
Any book you come at me with, I'm sure there's a podcast for it.
I don't really see how I'm going to talk you down from this, but, I mean, I can see in your eyes you know you're wrong, and that's...
comment.
I'll say, like, there's some books, I think, like, some novels are a little overrated, like fiction stuff more than nonfiction, like history stuff is usually, I think, better in book form, is usually best in book form.
I can see that, because I feel like you retain more. There's more information to deeper depths.
I feel like for, like, a good novel to actually, like, be worth the time, depending on the length, obviously, I feel like that bar is higher, you know, than like movies or So I guess I see what you're saying. There's some books where it's just like, and so, like, it's kind of hard. Like, I think because us, like, our generation, we're, like, used to visual forms of consuming media, it's like, it's almost harder to, like, kind of get into it, you know.
It takes a while for me to, like, kind of, like, figure out each author in a way, like, to get into the way they write, which is a lot of work, you know. I'm just not about that. I think it's also just me being better. Like, I wish I was a reader, but I'm not.
Yeah.
It really just boils down to that.
Alright, my fifth... Oh, wait, I thought I changed... Okay, hold on. My fifth is Canada.
Canada, here we go. You know, I thought you were going to choose a different country that you've been very passionate about.
New Zealand?
Yeah, New Zealand.
Well, so by the way, they delayed their election.
New Zealand did?
Yeah, they did.
You know, I'd appoint her dictator, so that's fine. Yeah. She actually runs the country well.
They started I guess they had, like, another small outbreak, and they delayed the election, like, 4 weeks or something like that. So yeah, that shit would not fly here. It probably shouldn't fly there either, to be honest.
No, that's probably true.
Canada, I feel like they're kind of on a high horse, but they're not. First off,
lay down, Eric. Lay down the law.
One, it's cold. It's cold as shit there. It's like not pleasant to physically be in Canada. I feel like
that's not like cold. It's not like cold where you wear a jacket. It's like bone chilling cold.
Yeah, like I mean, like Vancouver is probably not that bad, but I mean, it's like you have to imagine it's like slightly worse than Seattle, and Seattle's worse than Portland here. You know, like weather wise.
Yeah.
It's only 3 hours away. Yeah, I don't know. Also, like, they're low key also have like a really complicated history, at best. Not as bad as ours.
No.
But, you know.
No. Yeah, that's not compare everything to the United States, because that's a futile
right thing. Right. Not as bad as ours. But, like, still, like, they were real bad to the indigenous people when they just decided that they were going to be a white person country, because
major dicks.
Yeah. Like, you know, the Native Americans didn't have the border that we have set between the U.S. and Canada, so they were there too, you know. And things went pretty poorly for them in Canada as well. You know, it's just like, you know, I feel like they're just like a little cocky for what they actually are.
I see what you're saying, you know? Like, they kind of think they're like in the Sweden, Norway, Denmark tier of countries.
Yes.
And yeah, you know, and they have a dark past. But they let me counter a little bit. I see what you're saying, and I kind of agree with you. But they have universal health care.
Yeah, that's a big one.
They have free college education, if not very affordable. They are less racist, significantly less racist.
Yeah, it's always fun when you hear stories about like other countries doing bad things, and then like, they drew inspiration, and like you find out, like, oh, they drew inspiration from this policy the U.S. was doing.
It happens all. It happened with Hitler, you know.
Yeah, he was a big fan of us, like more than people like to think. Specifically, yeah. Andrew Jackson.
He thought
Yeah, go for it.
Didn't he think the United States was going to come in on Germany's side for a while?
Yeah, I mean, for good reason.
It's kind of shocking we didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, yeah. Well, because, like, we were cooperating with them in a lot of ways. It's like, also, like, the film industry has, like, a really complicated relationship with the Nazis.
Yeah.
Which we don't have to get into. Regardless, not about us. This isn't about us. We all know
this is about Canada. This is about Canada.
Yeah, and, like, you know, they could have taken the high ground, but instead they also decided to send Native children to boarding schools following our lead. They didn't have to do that, but they did.
That was a rude choice.
So fuck Canada.
Yeah, fuck Canada. This isn't a fuck this thing, but fuck Canada.
This is basically one long fuck this thing, this whole episode.
Oh, you're kind of right. I think this is why I was so excited for this episode.
All right, what's your next one?
Palm trees.
Really? So this one I'm curious about, because I don't really have a strong opinion about them. So, like, I'm just curious why you do.
All right, let me lay it out.
Okay.
Things I look for in trees. I look for Hold up.
Okay,
I look for adequate shade. I look for how it looks. I look for climbing ability. And they don't fulfill any of those.
Okay, the shade very thing I understand. I've never seen you climb a fucking tree, so fuck off with that one. Palm trees look fine. They look nice. They have, like, a very specific aesthetic.
If they're on the beach, sure. Anywhere else, go fuck yourself. You're just trying to have that beach feel, but you're not the beach because you don't have a beach next to you.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like they have one of the iconic tree images.
They do have an iconic tree image. Like, but is it as...
What does a fir look like? What does a fir tree look like? Huh? What's an aspen tree look like? You know, they just, you're thinking of trees. Palm tree?
Oh, what about an oak tree? I know what an oak tree looks like.
Okay. Redwoods. There's
I know what a redwood looks like. Yeah. But it really comes down to the shade. Have you ever tried to get shade from a palm tree? Because it fucking sucks.
I
never provide any shade.
That's a very, like, Southern Californian thing to say.
Especially a very pale Southern Californian.
Yeah.
I'm constantly looking for shade, and palm trees don't do shit for me.
Okay. I mean, you live in the world of palm trees, so I guess in that respect, you know, it's not fair for me to comment. I've never really done that, but okay. I see.
You kind of poked two very valid holes in my first two arguments for palm trees. Caught me a little bit off guard, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Okay. My fourth one, this is, okay. I don't feel great about this one, and I will probably change my mind on it. It's a movie, and I've only seen it once, but I was, like, severely disappointed. Because I went into this movie kind of expecting it to be one of my favorite movies ever.
Is it Forrest Gump?
No. Forrest Gump, I didn't think of that one for this list. It's Blade Runner.
Have
you seen it?
I've seen the new one with Ryan Gosling, but I haven't seen the original.
I understand it's a good movie. I think my biggest problem with it, going back to your sixth pick, is I read the book before I saw the movie. And I think that hurt me going into it.
Major mistake. Yeah. Never read the book first. And I'm serious about that. That wasn't a joke, because the book is kind of usually better, as much as my reading take disagrees with that.
It's very different. Like, there, it's not like a direct, like, adaptation. It's more of, like, influenced by sort of thing. But, like, enough's the same where it's not even like, I just felt it was a little, like, almost underwhelming, because I think the,
yeah,
what it's, like, so acclaimed for is, like, kind of the visuals and, like, being kind of like a,
like, yeah, it's iconic. Supposed to be pretty epic, right?
Yeah, and it's supposed to be kind of, like, kind of groundbreaking and, like, you know, how it's portrayed, like, futuristic stuff, you know? But obviously, like, the book is not visual based. It is, you know, basically all plot, because it is a book. It's like all plot, and the book is like, gets kind of like philosophical and stuff, and obviously the movie just leaned way more into like that visual aspect and really didn't pick up on those aspects of the book, I felt. Having said that, I've watched it once, and that's why I almost didn't put it on this list, just because I almost feel like that's unfair. Like, I need to revisit the movie, is how I felt walking the first time I watched it. But I will say I was underwhelmed. I feel like it is a little overrated as of this moment in time.
I'm on board. Absolutely. I think you make an argument Harrison Ford's overrated.
Oh, that's actually probably a stronger argument than just saying Blade Runner. But yeah, Blade Runner specifically, because I just love that book, and it was, you know, it was, I mean, I probably just put too much behind that aspect of,
yeah,
it.
That's why I'll say have low expectations for everything.
I don't know. It's, you know, I mean, I could nerd out about the book right now, but I'm not gonna. But like, they cut out. I thought they made weird choices of like what to keep and what not to. And like, I feel like I just need to go in just not even thinking about the book.
Yeah, like viewing it as two separate things.
Yeah, because I think they kind of are. Like, it's not really pretending to be just like a direct faithful adaptation. Like, it's very like. Like, even, like, you know how when they make a movie based on a book, they, like, sell the book and it's like, now a movie, you know?
Yeah.
And even, like, that stuff for the book is, like, the inspiration for. It doesn't say, like, the Blade Runner movie. It's, like, the inspiration for Blade Runner. It's, like, it's very clearly not a direct adaptation, but it's, like, they took enough from it that, like, you know.
It's, like, a weird middle ground.
Yeah, it kind of is, and maybe that's what threw me, is because it's, like, almost an adaptation, but it's just not. And so, like, I didn't know where to stand. So
I'm curious now.
Yeah.
If I weren't so against reading, I'd read that book.
It's a short book as far as books go. Yeah. It has a very pretentious name, the book does. It's not Blade Runner.
Oh, what's the name?
The name of the book is Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Yeah, no, I'm never going to read that. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, all right. What is your fourth?
Before one more thing about Blade Runner, I did not like the sequel, having never seen the first one.
Well, there you go. This is just more of fucking absurd shit you're gonna say in this episode. Just add it on the list. I don't care.
I got my two absurd shit out of the way. The rest, I think I have very good cases.
Okay.
My fourth most overrated thing, and I swear I moved it up. It was an honorable mention at first, but after today, I moved it up. Anthony Davis. Incredibly overrated.
I almost put him on the list.
Right? He's so overrated. He's like, everybody says he's a top five player in the league. The Lakers have two top five players in the league. He is not a top five player in the league. That's absurd. The dude made the playoffs twice in 8 years when he was the best player on the team.
It's so hard. The Lakers, because, like, he should be.
He should be.
And
like,
I honestly don't understand why he's not. Like, because he plays well, it just doesn't translate to wins. I don't get it.
No, it doesn't. When he's on the court and LeBron's not, the Lakers are not good. When he was New Orleans by himself, those teams were bad.
Yeah. The only reason why I didn't put him on the list is because I knew there was a non-0% chance that by the time this episode comes out, he's going to average 50 points in like the next four games and single-handedly.
Yeah. I was going to say that. I'm sure I'll be proven wrong, and he's going to fucking ball the fuck out very soon.
Yeah.
But
Because he
should. He's going against...
It doesn't make any sense. He's so good.
Yeah. He can do literally everything on the court, and he doesn't. Or he does, it just doesn't count towards a win.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I don't understand. But especially, you know, by the time this episode comes out, we will know a lot more about who Anthony Davis is as a basketball player.
Yeah.
But I feel like if this goes south, like, there's some very serious questions we need to ask about Anthony Davis.
Very serious. I don't think he can ever be the best player on a championship-winning team.
Yeah. I mean, he should.
he should be. But I don't think he can be.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. There's still time. It's one game, but yeah.
I've thought this before today, though.
No, yeah, I know. I thought about it. I mean, I made this list before the game today, so. And I thought of him, but yeah.
All right, before we move on, let me list all the players that I think are a better player than Anthony Davis.
Oh.
In no particular order.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard, yeah. Giannis, okay. LeBron,
yes.
James Harden,
okay.
Djokovic,
Luka.
Jokic, I don't say his name right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a boy. Luka, Lillard.
Yeah.
Oh shit, my computer. I'm like going across a list of NBA players because I was forgetting my computer froze. That might be it.
What about like Embiid?
I might take Embiid over him. I don't like Embiid.
Embiid's getting close to like this same category as Anthony Davis, though. Like we're close. He's a few years out, but I feel like we could be having this conversation about Embiid the same way we're having about Davis right now. in like a few years.
I think it's different though, because like I think if Embiid is locked in, he can be the best player on a championship level team.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think Embiid will ever be locked in for an entire postseason.
Yeah.
I'd take Tatum over him.
Yeah.
If maybe this season, maybe not, but for the future, absolutely.
Yeah, the future.
And then maybe Butler? Is that crazy?
I think that is where I think that might be the line of crazy. That's the thing. Like Butler is almost like the exact opposite as Anthony Davis. Where like he wills teams to wins where he has no business doing so.
Yeah. I fucking love Butler. That's a different podcast though. And I think maybe even Paul George. I know I'm biased, but I'd probably take Paul George over.
Could have come up in the underrated episode.
Yeah, he gets shit upon, and don't get me wrong, he's inconsistent, but he's consistent enough to be great, you know? Like he has bad games, but when he's on, he's looks like the best player in the world.
He also had one of the worst takes of all time. I think maybe people remember that. Wasn't he the one who said after Lillard hit the shot to limit the Thunder that he said like after the game that it was a bad shot? I think that was him.
Yeah, that was a bad take. But Anthony Davis, now the top five players in the world, he's closer to 10 than he is 5.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
And not a number one.
He should be the best.
He should be the best. Giannis is the only player that should be better than him.
Yeah, that's true. Because, especially Giannis is, like, starting to shoot. Or at least he's trying to start to shoot. Okay. That was your fourth?
Yep.
Third. I was on one when I made this list. Okay. Hear me out. I've never heard a good argument. I've said this take before, and I always get just shit on by everyone I say this take to. But I've never heard an argument to convince me otherwise.
I'm anxious.
Living near the beach.
Jesus fucking
Christ. The operative word is living. Like
Jesus.
So whenever I say this. Hold on. Whenever I say this, everyone are like, no, you can do all this stuff at the beach. You can, like, swim in the ocean or, like, just lay on the beach or whatever. And my rebuttal is, like, I can do that from anywhere. I can travel to the beach. I don't have to, like, live near it. I just have no desire to. Like, I'm not going to go to the beach enough. And, like, other people are like, oh, well, you could go to the beach every day. And my response is, that sounds terrible. Like, I don't...
No.
Sand it's not is everywhere. It's not relaxing because there's a million people there.
It's not that you can go to the beach every day.
Okay.
It's that you can go to the beach for an hour and then come back and not feel like it was a waste, you know? Like, if you're living 3 hours away from the beach, you're going to go for the full day. And that kind of fucking sucks. But if you're living next to the beach, you can go for 45 minutes or an hour or an hour and a half. And then you can leave. And, like, it was just a thing you did. It wasn't, like, a whole day activity. And that is fantastic.
Okay. Maybe that's clouding because, like, I've never done that. Like, I've never just gone to the beach for an hour. It's always been, like, a whole day. So, like, in my mind, it's just, like, that's what the beach is. And, like, I don't want to do that. I don't need the opportunity to do that every day.
No, because that fucking sucks. Going to the beach all day, exhausting.
Yeah. So maybe that's clouding this for me.
Yeah. And then also, the other fact is when you're close to the beach, it's really cool. Like, the weather isn't as extreme. But it's mostly the first thing I said.
Yeah, that's the most compelling thing someone said in response to this take, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just, I always just, in my head, going to the beach is like this whole day thing, and sand is everywhere at the end of the day. And it's like, after a few days, it's like, I don't want to go back.
No, I can. Your the take is wrong, and I can't not stress that enough. You're wrong. But I understand why you think that if you've never lived close to the beach. Because, okay. If you're going, oftentimes I won't go to the beach. I'll go to the beach and I won't get in the water, you know? I'll just go when I do read, which is very rarely, but I'll go and I'll just read at the beach, you know? Or I'll just listen to the waves and look at the water, you know? It's like an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and it's relaxing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just don't feel like I've missed out, you know, not living near the beach, I guess. You could, do that in the woods
or whatever. I guess you could, but the waves, the sound of the waves makes sense. And also, I feel like beach culture is chill, and I feel like beach towns matter more than non-beach towns, you know? L.A. is more important than every other city except for New York, pretty much.
Of course.
Yeah, it's kind of coastal elite. Our culture drives things, you know?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
We matter more than you.
Yeah, what does independent Missouri offer to anyone?
Fucking
Kansas. I don't even know what fucking state that city's in. Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, there was one time where I went to the coast here in Oregon, and sometimes, you know how the coast... Have you been to the beach coast here? I don't know if...
A couple times.
But it's just, kind of cold here. And so it was too cold to, go in the water, and it was, super foggy. So, I brought a book. So the book, I read, this Norse mythology book for, 2 hours, and it was a pretty life-changing experience, let me tell you. Reading a Norse mythology book during the fog of the Oregon coast is is something.
I bet. You're a little brainwashed, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. No.
I was about to put on my underrated list the cold beach, either whether it be the coast of Oregon or winter during California.
I would have been down for, yeah, I would have agreed with that. I think I like the Oregon coast a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm. I think because you get the waves and it's pretty, but it's also empty. Yeah. And you don't have to go in the water, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's just you're just there to chill and take it in.
Yeah.
Okay, what is your third?
This kind of goes with it. My third is summer. Summer is the worst season, and it's not close. It's hot and it's sweaty, and we're just brainwashed into thinking summer's the best because growing up we had summer vacation in school, but that's the only reason. Summer vacation would be way better if it was spring vacation.
Yeah.
Or fall vacation.
Yeah, I think that does cloud. This is kind of like the argument I made about Fridays and the best day of the week, where it's we're kind of programmed to think Friday's the best day and summer's the best season because we get it. That's the day off or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I see the arguments. It's hard for me. I'm a, as they say, a summer baby. So it is, I have a little bias towards summer. But I see all arguments. Honestly, what's your favorite season? I'm curious.
It goes fall, winter, spring, summer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Especially in Oregon, the fall in Oregon is low-key, don't tell anyone, but it's the best season of anywhere ever. Season. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. That alone is the reason to live there.
Yeah, it's honestly that good.
And also, the best seasons, it depends on where you're living. You know, that was kind of the broad thing. In Portland, it goes fall, spring, summer, winter.
Yeah, winter sucks. There's one thing I do like about when I live in Colorado is, there's really four distinct seasons. Which was kind of nice, because it, broke it up. Because, in Oregon, winter, it feels 6 months, because it is 6 months. In Colorado, it's like pretty even generally. Like,
it's like three months.
Pretty much, yeah. Fall in Colorado is pretty good too, but
in Southern California, like, it's kind of just two seasons. It's like a month of kind of cold and some rain, you know,
yeah.
And like January or February, and then the rest is kind of warm, and then there's like a month of just intense heat.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like the weather in Colorado, and yeah, here it's like hard because the winter really does suck. It's like not that bad, and then you hit a point where it's like I'm fucking over this, and there's no end in sight.
It's like middle of January or like early February, where you're deep into it, but you still have so much longer to go.
But
the winter makes, I mean, the fall is fantastic, but it makes the spring and the summer so good.
Yeah, it's rewarding.
Yeah.
Really, also, spring in Oregon's pretty good because you'll get like the random super nice day, and then it will like be rainy again. But like that one day is like, you feel like you earned it, you know?
Yeah, you're living for the first time in months. It's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, fall in Oregon should have been on Underrated. I didn't even think of that.
It should have been. It should have been.
Okay. We're on number two. This one, I don't think we'll talk about this one for long. It's a take I've had on this show, not podcast. Well, I guess it was a podcast back then. I've had it many times, I think. I think this was one of my first fuck this things.
We're Rat Chew now.
Huh? Oh,
we're
Rat Chew now. Rat Chew.
That's ironic, because my number two is also a former fuck this thing for me.
So mine is the Star Spangled Banner. I'll maintain that this is a bad song.
It is a bad song.
It's a bad song. It's not a good song. And no other country plays their national anthem before sporting events.
Yeah.
And we don't need to either.
I think this take has only aged like wine in the past few years.
Yeah, I feel real good that I was early on this.
Yeah, as you should.
it's a bad song. It's not a good actual song. And also, it's also overplayed, we'll say.
I hear it constantly.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah. We should hear it at when a president gets sworn in. You know, or in a few months, case a dictator, and the Olympics, and
only place is good. Yeah, like the Olympics, it's like that's like a great moment for the national anthem because like that's the whole point. You know, it's like our country is better than your fucking stupid country.
listen
to our song.
That's when I can feel patriotic.
Yeah, listen to our fucking song.
That's kind
of
it.
You fucking losers.
No, I agree.
Yeah. What's yours?
You know what it is. Do you have a guess?
Baby carrots?
Oh man, I should've. No, Eli Manning.
Oh, it's like the inverse Eli Manning of the Romo.
Eli Manning is such a bad quarterback. It's embarrassing. He shouldn't be labeled good. He's gonna make the Hall of Fame, and that makes me fucking feel nauseous inside.
It's just crazy. Like,
his best trait is the fact that he played and he never missed a game, but he was so bad that's not even a positive.
He is also a very interesting case study. Kind of like Tony Romo, but the opposite. I do not understand that man's career. I don't know what it was. It's like he played and it looked bad, but he won for those like two seasons, and he never stopped playing. No one told him to stop.
Nobody told him to stop. He won for those two seasons and constantly lost besides of that.
They weren't even like that good those years. They went on a run at the right time.
Yeah, the very end of the season.
Which is all winning a Super Bowl is. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, let's say if you're the Patriots, you kind of just got hot.
Yeah.
No, Eli Manning is bad, and he is the most overrated sports figure of our lifetime.
Lifetime, wow. I mean, I can't think of another one off the top of my head.
Yeah, he's going to make the Hall of Fame, Eric. He's
pretty revered, yeah.
He's going to make the Hall of Fame, and he was a bad at his job. He was a bad quarterback. He was. He threw pit interceptions like nobody else.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. It's just...
Odell Beckham Jr. saved his career, and then when he left, he tanked again.
It's a lot. I don't even know. Did he really finish his career? Hold on. He finished his... Do you want to guess what his career win percentage was?
I know it was hovering around... Was it 500 exactly?
It was, yeah.
That is...
He was 117 and 117 in his career.
Isn't that the most poetic stat of all time?
It's just amazing. I saw...
What else does Eli Manning deserve except for being a 500 quarterback?
Right. I saw, like, one of his first wins, I think. Or something like that. He went 1-6 as a rookie. I wonder... If that one wins the game.
Like, you saw it live?
Yeah, I saw him beat the Niners at Candlestick. But I don't know if that was this rookie year. I think it was like his second or third year. I'll try and find it real quick. But yeah, he had a career. You can say that for sure.
He played a lot of games, and he threw a lot of interceptions, and then he kind of just retired.
I saw him in 2005. He beat the 49ers. Box score.
Sure it's bad. I just, like, a Hall of Famer should be above 500. That should be a benchmark.
Right. He was fine. I mean, the Niners were terrible. Let's see. Who do the Niners have playing this game? Cody Pickett started at quarterback.
Oof. Oof. That's not a good name.
Cody Pickett. I saw Andy Lee punt. He's still in the league.
What? That's incredible. That was 15 years ago. That's
crazy. I knew he was like the punter when the Niners got good with Harbaugh, but I didn't realize he was there that long. Yeah, tight end Billy Bajema. He didn't beat the... Yeah, yeah. Well, I saw Eli Manning beat a really shitty Niners team. In 2005.
You know, future Hall of Famer Eli Manning.
That's true. I've seen at least one future Hall of Famer. How many future Hall of Famers have you seen? You know?
Is Philip Rivers a future Hall of Famer? Probably not.
Yeah, is he not?
He's iffy like Romo, I think. Probably got less of a shot, but I think he's a chance to be Hall of Famer, but it's up in the air.
I think I saw Joe Thomas play when I saw the Browns. No one from this game on the Niners side, that's for sure. No, Bryant Young. Is it? I don't know if Bryant Young is actually in the Hall of Fame, but he's a good player. Yeah, I don't know.
I just saw DeMarcus Ware in a preseason game.
Oh, there you go. Yes, Bryant Young was in the 2019 Hall of Fame class. Yeah, so I did see a Niner Hall of Famer in that game. He was just a defensive end.
Yeah, fuck Eli Manning, though. That fucking piece of shit.
These are some flash from the past names on this Giants offense. I'm looking at the box score. Tiki Barber was the running back.
Oh my God, Tiki Barber. That dude was in the league forever.
Yeah, starting wide receiver, Plaxico Burress. Mr. Shoot My Leg.
Legend.
The other wideout, I recognize this name, Amani Toomer. You remember him?
Oh yeah, I remember him.
Was he the helmet catch?
No, I don't think he was.
That was like some random guy, right?
Yeah.
Jeremy Shockey was the tight end. Remember him?
I vaguely remember that name.
He was like a crazy white guy.
I mean, if you're named Jeremy Shock, you're going to be a crazy white guy.
Yeah. Jay Feely was the kicker for the Giants. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, Eli Manning. He is something, isn't he?
That's the nicest thing I can say about him.
Yeah, that was his first full season as a starter. He had, I'm looking at their record by years that he started, and it's tough.
He's a bad quarterback. It's as simple as that. He's bad at playing football.
Yeah, he was not good. All right, honorable mention time, I believe. What are some of yours? I had Anthony Davis. One of my honorable mentions was TED Talks. I think they're a little overrated.
Yes, TED Talks are super overrated.
They were like really cool for like a minute, and then that minute was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, there's been like one TED Talk where I'm like, oh, I enjoyed that, and the rest of them I'm like, I don't want to be fucking watching this.
I also just wrote sports in general because I'm assuming by the time this comes out, the Nuggets have done something absolutely tragic. So I'm preparing preemptively.
Very fair. You got to prep for the pain.
I another one I had, TV shows longer than 30 minutes. Like there's not a lot that I feel like are worth my time.
I agree with that. TV shows, we need to go back to dramas being 40 minutes and comedies being 20 minutes. This whole comedy's 30, dramas an hour is fucking bullshit. I'm sick of it.
And like I think TV shows are like, there's like some that are just are like worth the time investment, but I would say the overwhelming majority are not.
Yeah.
And like even like a movie, like even like a long movie, like theoretically I could watch in a couple sittings if like it was like that long and I really didn't want to take the time, and like I got the whole product, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not gonna pour 100 hours into a TV show when I can just not do that and watch a movie that's even on the long end like 2.5 hours, and then I got the whole thing, you know?
It's crazy. Like you could like very rarely do they need an hour to tell the whole story of that episode. You can make it 40 minutes easy.
And like it's hard with like, I think like comedies like yeah, they should be like 20 minutes, but I'm like more okay with the comedy being 30. But I feel like if I'm committing to more than 30 minutes of something, like I need more than what because TV's like so much of it is like whether or not they get renewed. So like it's kind of hard to make like a well-rounded plot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like they just kind of had to keep going or just not, you know what I mean?
It's super difficult.
Yeah,
so much is up in the air. No, I agree. Like I feel like peak Game of Thrones was worth an hour,
And even they pushed it, especially obviously people hate the ending. I think we talked about that, but like even like the last season everything was like an hour and a half, and I'm like, it's only because I've watched the first 70 hours of this that I'm putting up with this.
Yeah. Just make the season an episode longer and make it an hour episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. But I feel like it's like peak Game of Thrones and Succession and...
Yeah, Succession.
I'm sure I'm forgetting a few others, but...
Breaking
Bad, yes. But yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hours too long.
Yeah. All right. Do you have any honorable mentions?
Yes. The movie Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, great, born, great.
Won all those awards.
Yeah, that movie is so bad. Have you seen it a second time?
Not fully, but I caught it on like cable, you know? Yeah. Not good.
So yeah, so the first time I watched it, it's like it's really easy to get swept up if you like the music, which I mean I do, and like Freddie Mercury is like an interesting character, and I think, you know, Rami did a good job, or you know,
yeah.
So like watching on first watch, it's like you kind of can get swept up on that. Second watch, I was like, this is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's so bad.
It's so bad.
Like it's just nonsensical.
Yeah, the first time, you know, you got Queen music. I fucking love Queen. It's the big screen. It's loud.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's not enthused.
It's just like them writing songs.
Yeah, and like,
and Freddie being an asshole.
Yeah, and like almost, it's like a shocking amount of that movie is not true, like not accurate at all.
Yeah,
yeah, like,
and it was
almost none of it.
Interesting enough to make it real.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like. Yeah, like almost literally everything in that movie is fabricated in some way, shape, or form, and it's a mess. It's a fucking mess.
And it's not even entertaining. It's such a bad movie.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's like, even if, yeah, it's like, if you, it's like really, it's almost like gross in some ways of like what they made up. And then like on top of that, yeah, it's just like the way it's edited is like really distracting, and like, yeah, it's just like, mm-hmm. them sitting around for large portions, and it's not good. It's a really bad movie.
It makes me so mad every time I remember that it stole awards from Stars Born.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I also honorable mention U2 is incredibly overrated. They have like one song I actually like.
They're tough. Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. I don't like listen to them regularly. The Edge, I'm like not a personal fan, but like he like when The Edge plays like a certain piece, like he made like certain pedals very famous, and I think he's not known for his playing, but he's known for like the stuff he plays.
Yeah,
that makes sense. And so he's almost like kind of more influential than people think in that respect, but yes, I see what you're saying.
It feels like every U2 song is the same song.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
They're also like, are you familiar with like Brian Eno? Because he's like a weird guy. He's at a weird
career. A producer, right?
Yes. And yeah. He has a very weird career because he was like one of Bowie's main collaborators.
Yeah,
but he also produced like every U2 and Coldplay album. It's like a really weird, he has like a really weird career.
Yeah, those are like, I think U2 and Coldplay make some sense, but David Bowie feels very different from them.
Yeah, he's like one of Bowie's main collaborators. He also recorded like the three good Talking Heads albums.
Very different from the rest of those.
Yeah. And then he basically did all of U2 and all of Coldplay. Yeah, interesting. And then he made like these albums under his own name that are like these really influential ambient albums. Dude has a weird career.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple of those, I think. And I was like, okay, I think I just don't get it. I think this is good, but I'm just not on the same brain wave.
I mean, is it like Music for Airports? That's like the big one.
I think that's the one I listen to, yeah.
It's like, I mean, like ambient, it's like supposed to be in the background, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, I like Music for Airports. I think it's like a calming, but he's done some other ones that are like weird. Okay. Was that all your... That was your honorable mentions, right?
Yeah, that was my last one.
Okay. Do you want to do your number one, or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
I think this is another fuck this thing I'd have done on this show. Well, okay, back then it was a podcast. You're not gonna like it. You didn't like it when I did a fuck this thing of it. I don't like milk. I really just don't like milk.
I just hate that opinion.
I don't like it. I mean, there's like this one's just like an opinion one, so like I just don't like milk at all.
It's such it depends, like straight up milk, no, but milk with an Oreo, milk at dinner, milk with cereal, there's so much uses for milk.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I guess there's like, yeah, like you eat something like really rich chocolate, but like I have basically transitioned, you're gonna hate this, you're gonna hate it quite a bit, and I'm gonna say it anyway and you're gonna hate it. I basically just transitioned to almond milk and I feel fine. Because I just don't like it. I just, it's, you know what it is? It's like when it sits out for too long. Like if it's like really cold, like fresh out of the fridge, I think it's okay. But if it sits out for like a few minutes and starts to warm up, I just hate it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but like I can tell and I hate it.
What scenario is almond milk better though?
It just doesn't get that like gross warm flavor. It just like tastes the same because it's like probably largely just
warm
synthetic.
Is not a flavor, Eric.
No, there's warm milk is gross.
There's yeah, okay, warm about milk, it. But yeah. Like not frigid cold milk is like still fine.
There's a, it's just if it's not like straight out of the, because like what I used to do when I, because like I with Oreos or like yeah, like you know what I loved when I like back in the day, it was like, you know those like individual size Safeway cakes or like individual size grocery store cakes. Like they had those chocolate ones where like they had they were all chocolate with like the chocolate frosting that was like hard but also kind of greasy in but in a good way. I would eat those and like I would basically pour like sip size or like one gulp size glasses of milk just out of the fridge and like put the thing back because I didn't want to pour the full glass because I couldn't drink it if it sat out for too long.
I agree with that. A full glass of milk is a lot of milk, you know. Yeah. I don't need a ton of it, but as your number one most overrated thing,
I know it's a purely me thing, but I don't like milk. I just don't like it.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. It's just,
sometimes it just really hits the spot. Sometimes, depending on what meal it is, it just nails it, you know?
Yeah, it's mostly like cereals. And like I'll do it like with stuff, like I'll mix it in with stuff, you know, like when I'm making like mac and cheese or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And the box calls for milk. It's just like drinking straight milk is not something I've done in a long time because I just,
no, if we're being honest, I don't think I've done that in years either.
What's your number one?
I think it's been 5+ years easy.
What's your number one?
All right. I think we've talked about this before. The Star Wars franchise. Incredibly overrated.
I thought you were high on it.
I like Star Wars, and I watch every Star Wars movie, you know? But it is like such an important thing in our culture. But if you look at it, there's been 4 good Star Wars movies. And let me lay it out for you. It's been 5, 6... Solo and 8. Besides of that,
Rogue One.
They've all kind of. You're right, not Solo. Rogue One. 4, 5, 6, Rogue One, and 8 are the only good Star Wars movies. The rest have kind of sucked.
Yeah, so there's like a real disconnect because, like, I think, like, part of the genius of it and, like, something they've completely abandoned because it's now Disney. Is that like the fourth one was great because it was just like batshit. Like it left everything to the imagination, basically. And so there's like so much fan stuff that you could do with that, because there's just like all these like half introduced concepts that you could just run with. And they, now that's like, you know, Disney's not doing that, you know, because Disney's not interested in fan fiction. They're interested in Disney fiction.
Yeah. There's no money in fan fiction.
Yeah. So, I think going forward, it's not as interesting as, but yeah, I mean, I like the original trilogy. Rogue One is like, I don't know how they were even allowed to make a movie that good for when it was made.
Yeah.
And like what it is.
They just have a below 50% hit rate, which is bad. And it is the most iconic movie franchise of all time. And it shouldn't be. It's not that good. Most of the movies suck.
How would you say it's better or worse than like Harry Potter? Because that has that's like the only franchise with like a comparable output, you know?
Like, it's tough because I'm a huge Harry Potter fan and I love the books. The movies were all right. I think it's about even with Harry Potter. I think the books are way better than both the movies of Harry Potter and the movies of Star Wars. Right. But I think movie-wise, it's probably about even, if we're being honest. Maybe Star Wars is better. But it's tough because the movies of Harry Potter aren't the best form of that story, while the movies of Star Wars are supposed to be the best form of that story.
That's true, yeah. And like, yeah, the original one is like the 4 is like, it's like kind of a mess. But I think like actually, Rogue One kind of like sells that point of like how the 4th one like opened the door for like so much, like opened the door to people's creativity, because like. Rogue One, it just entirely plays off like unanswered questions from 4, and the like idea that you could make a movie where you don't explain everything, and like part of that's probably like a fault of the filmmakers, like we know now, like George Lucas is like, you know, he's a controversial figure for sure, but yeah. But like I think that's why it like took off the way it did, you know, because like people were able to just run with stuff, and I think that's like an interesting thing that won't happen again, because people just won't do that. People wouldn't greenlight a movie where you just say random stuff and don't explain anything.
They would not put up with that anyway. Yeah, and that's true, but it has such a cultural impact, and it kind of just falls flat most of the time.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, for sure.
That said, next Star Wars movie they put out, I'm probably going to watch, but...
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely going to watch it. I mean, we got to see what happens next. Yeah. Also, I remember the other point I have to make. Like, some people... Like, if you just watch these movies, specifically with Marvel, like, because this is one I've seen a few Marvel movies, like, on opening weekend. And, like, the difference between seeing a Star Wars or a new Marvel release, like, on opening weekend in a packed theater versus watching it, like, at home on your laptop is, like, stark. Like, not, like Christopher Nolan's like, you have to watch my movies on the big screen, and like that's probably does enhance the experience, but like it is a way different experience when like you're in a room with like 100 people who are emotionally invested and like cheering and shit throughout the whole movie. Like that cannot be duplicated or like replicated on, you know, an at home by yourself viewing of any.
It can't. Yeah. I remember when Episode 7 came out, and I watched it like close to the opening weekend, and it was just a jam-packed theater, and it was kind of the first Star Wars movie that we like saw, you know, like maybe like the prequels, we were like, what, 5 or 6, you know, that kind of counts. But I remember seeing Episode 7, and when I saw it in theaters, I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Because it's just the experience was fantastic. Rewatch did not live up to that, though.
Yeah, like, I think I saw Infinity Wars, like, the second day it was out in, like, a packed theater, and it was, that was, like, nuts. That was one of the most, like, ridiculous theater going experiences I've had, because that was wild. I saw Black Panther opening weekend, and that was
similar. Yeah. That, I almost put Marvel on my most overrated, because, like, they're good, but they also, like, the two best superhero movies are Spider-Verse and The Dark Knight, and it's not really close to me.
Yeah, I'd say, like, if you rewatching some of them, knowing, like, how it ends, they were setting up a lot of stuff for a lot longer than I realized. I'll say that, but I think, again, like, part of the draw to, like, the Marvel and Star Wars things is that, like, that the experience that comes with them.
Yeah, you know? No, sure.
I think that's, like, a big part of it. Because, yeah, like, if you're just watching fucking... like, I would never spend 2.5 hours watching Infinity War on my laptop, but, like, yeah, watching it in that packed theater the second day it was out was, like, one of the greatest movie-going experiences I've been to. You know, it's, I think that's also part of it.
That's a huge difference, for sure.
All right. So we had lists. Did you delete your list this time?
I did not. I can do this.
Well, thank you. What was your list?
My number 6 was reading. My number 5 was palm trees. What a fucking start. And then 18, Eli Manning and the Star Wars franchise.
All right, mine was Ringo Starr, Canada, Blade Runner, Living Near the Beach, Star Spangled Banner, and Milk. What a list. What a fucking banger of a list.
Just, it popped everywhere.
There was, like, all of them were just, I went to a 10.
There were 6 left fields there.
All right. Do you have your fuck this thing ready, or should I go?
You can go.
I opened my phone and it was that how many more fucking threes will I miss Danny Green image again. okay, where I just had it. There it is. Okay, this one's a good one. Strangers who want to talk to people out and about now. Let me explain. So, so I went to a mall recently, because we were just returning some stuff, and, like, they only had a store at this mall. So I was just, like, standing basically, like, outside the mall, and this, like, lady tried to start having small talk with me, and she, like, I had a mask and she had a mask, and she was, like, keeping her distance, you know. But, like,
yeah,
it was a terrible experience. Like, I couldn't hear her, really, because, like, we both have masks on, and, like, we were not very close, but she was still insisting on having this conversation, and it was, like, fuck off. Like,
that's painful.
Like, I hated that when I could understand and, like, maintain the conversation, but it was, like, I couldn't just walk away, but, like, I really wanted to. Because it was bad.
That's fucking terrible. I thrive in small talk, I think, and that's just when you can't get out of it like that, it's just fucking hell.
Because it's just like, it's I hopefully we both learned a lesson, but, like, small talk is not really an option these days, let me tell you.
Because we're just trying to survive. We, like, can't deal with small talk.
She would say something, and it'd be, like, mumbles, and I would be like, what? And then she would repeat it, like, half yelling, and then I would respond, and then she would say, what? It, like, that was it the whole time, and I was like, Jesus, just, why?
Let's just stand in silence.
Yeah. What are we doing here, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was in my phone on my list in all caps as people who talk to me. So. what's yours?
Mine is Audi belly buttons. I think they look weird and they make me uncomfortable.
That is outrageous.
Have you seen an Audi belly button anytime soon?
Not recently, but I mean, I'm not saying I disagree. It's just a hard. That's a hardcore fuck this thing.
They're not natural.
But they are. You know, like.
But they don't feel natural to me. And I don't like them. They make me uncomfortable. I don't know how they fix it. I don't know. I'm not saying they should fix it. But I just
fix it. It's just
I don't like them. I don't like Audi belly buttons.
Okay. I mean, that's like, you know, I just feel like fuck this thing is like a hard, you know, I feel like that's like,
I strongly believe this. I really don't like them. I really hate them.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, like, what if you had an Audi belly button?
I'm sure if I had an Audi belly button, I would feel way different, Eric. Okay. But that's not the world we live in. I don't have one.
You would, okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't really... I just don't have a hard response here because I just feel like it's just, like, unnecessarily prejudiced, you know? Like, you're just making up a thing to be prejudiced about. I think that's where I'm at with this.
If you gotta be just, it might as well be Audi belly buttons and not, like, somebody's race or sexual orientation.
Okay. I mean, that's fair, yeah, discriminating again. That's, like, the future is, like, we're gonna find different things to discriminate for.
Yes.
And the next one is belly buttons.
It's gonna be wonderful. What a future we live in.
All right.
Hopefully.
This was fun. We should have more fun episodes of the Noah and Eric show. For this show, hopefully you guys like the new logos and stuff. We're two episodes deep before we'll have a chance to respond, which is kind of nice in a way.
Have time to get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully things don't look too weird. We're able to actually get things out the way we think we are. All right. Well, I think that's all we got here for our overrated and underrated six packs. Do you have anything else to before we? I think we have some fun episodes coming up. Hopefully. I think we have some things in the works behind the scenes, and if they fall through, then sorry for hyping up the next episode because it will suck. No. All right. With that, fuck people who talk to me, and fuck Audi belly buttons.
Fuck Audi belly buttons.